In our scripture for this morning, the writers describe Moses and Jesus both in the midst of a mountaintop experience that leave them both transfigured. We are told that Moses' face shone to the point that he had to cover it up or risk blinding those who saw him as he came down from the mountain after speaking with God. We are told in the gospel that Jesus' face changed and that his clothing became a dazzling white as he stood atop Mount Tabor. I can only imagine what the spectacle of faces ablaze with the glory of God would look like, but I imagine that it would be more stunning than the kilowatt highlighter that I put on my face when I want to glow up for special occasions, and looks more beautiful than the Chrysler Building as the sun sets and the reflection illuminates throughout New York City. The gospel writer tells us that Peter was so overwhelmed by the glory that he beheld that he wanted to make three dwellings to house Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. I don't know why this is Peter's first impulse after the vision, but I wonder at Peter's desire to build a booth to contain not only Jesus, but Moses and Elijah, who have been interpreted as the law and the prophets. I wonder if in his dismay and awe of the spectacle that he witnessed, if he wanted to somehow retain their glory and keep them just as they were. Sometimes we want things to stay the same. We want to freeze frame a moment in time because we know that with each moment, we and the world around us are constantly changing, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. But if there is one thing that I have learned, it is that we cannot prevent change. If we are blessed, our children will grow from crawling around on the floor to eventually standing up and walking, and before you know it, they are talking and going off to school, having boyfriends and girlfriends, getting married, going off to college, and leaving our homes altogether. When it comes to our children, many of us accept that it is the natural order for the child to grow and eventually move on. And if we are honest, we take pride in having equipped them to do so. We understand that anything that is alive must constantly change and grow. But for some reason, this has not translated to our faith. Some of us want to build a booth to relegate Christ and our understanding of who he is and what he meant in a small box. We want to keep him and our beliefs about scripture constrained by our earliest beliefs. But in our scripture for this morning, Jesus rejects the offer of a booth on Mount Tabor. He rejects the idea that he, the law, and the prophets are to be inhibited to one space and time. The transfigured Jesus invites us to hold our images and even our interpretation of scripture lightly in our hands so that we do not limit the expansive love and light that Christ longs to illuminate in ever-widening circles all around the world. I heard the story that long ago in a small European village, there lived an old man whom everyone considered infinitely wise. Whenever the villagers needed advice, they came to the old man's door and knocked. In the same village lived a number of young ruffians. These young men came to resent the old man, for he had so often been correct in his counsel. So for once, they were determined to prove this so-called wise man wrong. The young hooligans caught a bird and decided to ask the old man whether the bird was dead or alive. If he said it was dead, the one holding the bird would let it fly away. If, however, he said that it was alive, the one holding the bird was instructed to crush the bird unto death and then open his hand to prove the man wrong. They went to the old man's house and said, "Old man, we have an important question to ask you today. Is this bird dead or alive?" The old man thought for a minute, then answered, "It is all in your hands." It is all in our hands. Hold all things lightly, for we have the power to crush or to give life. When two people or groups encounter each other, they either deal death or give life. We deal death when we criticize, belittle, misunderstand, ignore, boast, cast out, and diminish the sacred worth of another, and insist on our own way. We give life when we notice, affirm, thank, listen to, rejoice with, draw closer to, and encourage others. We are transfigured and transformed by God's grace when we are able to extend life to others. When we offer life rather than death, our faces shine so brightly that, like Moses, we have to cover them to protect innocent bystanders. When we offer love instead of hate, we no longer need Fenty to keep our glow glowing up. We no longer need to apply masks that make you believe that we are filled with the love of God. That love shines out through every pore in our body. We glow up as Jesus shone on Mount Tabor. The outcome of the special session of the General Conference has dealt death to our LGBTQI sisters and brothers. It has placed Christ and our understanding of the whole breadth of Scripture within a booth. It demands that there is only one way to understand and interpret the Holy Scriptures that surprisingly has very little to say about homosexuality. Out of all of the Hebrew and Greek Testaments, there are only six scriptures that address homosexuality directly. Six. It breaks my heart that our denomination may face division over something that is lifted only six times and ignores those issues that God addresses again and again, over and over. There are over 500 scriptures about love and loving one another, and over 2,000 about poverty and justice. But we are holding the lives of our homosexual brothers and sisters in the balance over six. Now, I know that in this sanctuary, right now, this very morning, there are some who agree and some who disagree with the decision that came out of the special session. And I affirm everyone's right to their own interpretation and understanding of Scripture. I believe that God is still speaking to us as individuals and as a church. And what I love about our scripture this morning is that not only did Jesus reject Peter's invitation to build a booth to contain him, the law, and the prophets, but that just as they attempted to hold them in one place, stamp them for all eternity, under one understanding, Elijah and Moses disappear into a cloud that overshadows them. And out of that cloud, there came the voice of God proclaiming, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Listen to him. It is curious, and I am sure consternating to some, that on this subject, Jesus is silent as recorded by the gospel writers. But on the pain of having been betrayed by the people and church you love, he has something to say. Listen to him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." and on the temptation to punish those around you for their transgressions, listen to him. He or she who is without sin, cast the first stone. When we doubt how we are to treat our neighbors, listen to him. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. In everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. It is not always easy to hear from Christ. I speak to you from this pulpit as one who on numerous occasions have heard from God and said an emphatic no. I don't want to do it. We all struggle to hear the commands of our Lord and to do them. But I want you to know that even on this, Jesus has something to say. Who wants to listen to him? With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We are transfigured and transformed by God's grace when we are able to extend life to others. As we begin our Lenten pilgrimage this week, we are called to listen to Jesus and imitate his life, reflecting his holy glow and expanding God's glorious light to all the nations and to all the children of God. Listen to him. What is Christ saying to you? Amen.